We should mention that parts of this story might be disturbing for some of our listeners.
There are young women on the campus who are scared. They are scared to walk around on campus knowing that there's a sexual predator there. And me, myself, I am scared too. Every day, I am scared. And I don't deserve to be scared.
From NPR and Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, how one teacher sparked a Me Too movement in a school district in California. When the hashtag Me Too movement started in 2017, it largely focused on celebrities speaking out about sexual abuse in Hollywood.
New developments in the Harvey Weinstein case. The disgraced Hollywood executive is due in court this morning facing new sexual assault allegations.
It happened to me too.
Me too.
And it happened to me too.
And these stories had an impact. Men in positions of power were fired or taken to court. But on a more local level, when it involves non-celebrities, it's a very different story. Over the last 2 years, reporter and writer Sarah Fuss Kessler has been following the story of a Latina high school teacher in Merced, California. The teacher reported being sexually harassed by a white basketball coach at her high school. Her story would spark outrage in the community.
Every woman in here knows another woman who has been impacted by this assault. Our young women should not have to do that.
I'm trying to relay with you.
I sat down with the reporter, Sarah Fuss Kessler, to talk about what she found at Golden Valley High School and what it tells us about the Me Too movement beyond the national headlines. Her reporting originally appeared in the online publication Jen, a publication from Medium focused on politics, power, and culture. Hey, Sarah, welcome to Latino USA.
Hi, thanks for having me.
All right, Sarah, you're a writer and you're based in California. And a few months before the Me Too movement broke out nationally, you were actually working on a story in Merced, California. So what initially drew you there?
So actually, I was working on a completely different story about women's studies classes. Generally, they're offered exclusively in college, but I was interested in whether they were ever taught in high schools. I learned that there are only about 25 teachers in the whole country who teach women's studies in high schools. And one of them was in a private school in Manhattan, where maybe you'd expect a teacher like that to be. But I also learned that there was one teacher who taught it in Merced, California. And that teacher was Annie Delgado at Golden Valley High School. This is a farming area, conservative area. It's a swing county, economically disadvantaged. So I was just very interested in this particular classroom in Merced, California.
So tell me a little bit about Annie Delgado. Why does she become central in your story?
So Annie Delgado is Latina. She is a highly respected member of the Latino community in Merced, which is a majority Latino area. She's in her mid-40s. She's tall, athletic. She makes corny mom jokes.
As we say, sometimes the struggle is real.
This is Annie on a call with me. A lot of my interviews with her happened over the phone.
My principal came to me and he said, you know, I see a lot of young ladies in our community repeating unhealthy cycles that are entrenching them in poverty. Uh-huh. And so he asked if I would be willing to develop a class.
She's busy with her students. She works with them after class and clearly very ambitious about what she wants to accomplish for her students. And she was even recognized by the White House in 2016.
So Annie is an educator for the Merced Union School District and heads the Lift While You Lead Empowerment Project and has made a huge difference in her community. Shout out for Annie. Come on.
And in December 2017, I sit in on her class.
What's the first topic that you would like to discuss as a reflection of this semester? Body image? Okay, so who would like to...
So Annie's Women's Studies class is a year-long elective where the first half of the class is about women in society today, and the second half is about women in U.S. history. Annie will cover issues like unhealthy relationships, pregnancy among teens, body image, and some of the students even share very personal events going on in their lives.
I spent a whole year with a guy who ended up, like, hurting me really bad.
and also like disabled me in small ways to like not even talk to my friends half the time or see them.
Wow, it feels like Annie Delgado is really creating a sense of trust in her classroom.
Absolutely. Trust is central to this class. The students I spoke to really appreciated that. But I learned that Annie was secretly dealing with something. Over dinner one night, she told me about a disturbing event that had happened 9 months earlier. It was March 25th, 2017. Annie was at an athletic awards dinner in the school district where she worked. She's there with her husband and at one point goes to the bar to order a drink for him. And she runs into Keith Hunter, the basketball coach at her school, Golden Valley High School. So Keith Hunter is tall, 6 foot plus, bald, white, and in his early 50s. He has run the varsity boys basketball team for over 20 years, and he's sort of a hero at the school.
Keith Hunter, about a month ago, surpassed a milestone that we're going to celebrate tonight.
So Annie and Keith are at the bar, and then she says he ends up saying to her that she looks really hot, and then he says, I think about you and your legs and your backside, but he doesn't use that word. She says he hovered his hands right over her breasts, and that he said something to the effect of, all this in a brain too, who wouldn't want to do you?
Wow. So this is in public?
Yes, and then he slaps her backside. That's what she alleged to me when we spoke that night.
So that's pretty shocking. What happens with Annie right after the sexual harassment occurred?
She's upset. She tells her husband right away. The next week, Keith Hunter acts like everything's normal at school. He eventually apologizes to her, but this is only after her husband, who's also a coach, confronts him. And Annie feels like it's a kind of half apology. Annie still feels really uncomfortable about what happened, really upset. And she's torn. She's not sure she wants to report the incident to the school. She told me she'd never heard of anyone in Merced filing a sexual harassment complaint. It was something that she considered professional suicide. And on the other side, she's a woman studies teacher, and she wants to be a model to her students. So for the next 7 months, Annie doesn't take action. And October comes, Harvey Weinstein's stories break, and Me Too goes global.
A huge number of sexual assault and harassment survivors are sharing their stories online. An untold number of women posted Me Too and revealed their deeply intimate experiences of abuse.
The stories of all these actresses and other women were powerful, but to Annie, they seemed to exist in a world away from Merced. And that Hollywood world, even though it was only 5 hours away driving, is so much richer, whiter, more progressive that the events didn't feel related to her life. Normally, Annie is always on the move. She's running at 6 a.m. or maybe even 5 a.m. She's moving all the time. But during this period, she's getting home as quickly as she can. She's crawling into bed. Her husband, Mike Mondo, told me that she was playing games on her phone and becoming sort of a hermit and just was not herself.
And I would just cry. It was like this tape inside my head that just went over and over. Why didn't I do this? Why didn't I react this way? And I really don't go out a lot, but then it was I wouldn't go to the store. It took a lot for me to go to the store, and I just shut down.
In the end, it was her husband who convinced her to come forward because he saw that she was really becoming depressed. So in October of 2017, she writes a letter to her principal letting him know what happened, and she winds up in a meeting with HR. So Ralph Calderon is the head of HR for MUHSD, the Merced Union High School District, and they are the fourth largest employer in town. So he is in a very powerful position. She tells Ralph Calderon what has happened, and she tells me that he does not seem very pleased with her. He seems frustrated that he's going to have to start an independent investigation, hire an attorney to lead it. He seems really annoyed. Calderon tells her, "Do you understand how serious this is?" So the investigation took 6 weeks. Annie said it was hard on her, destabilizing. She said there were no written guidelines about what to expect, that Ralph Calderon never checked in on her after the first meeting, and that Keith Hunter was allowed to stay on campus during the investigation. I did email Keith Hunter, the school's basketball coach. He confirms that he remembers slapping her backside, but said he was intoxicated and did not recall saying the things Annie alleged. In the end, Annie gets a letter from Ralph Calderon. It says the investigation substantiated her claims that she was sexually harassed. As a result, Keith Hunter has a letter of reprimand put in his file, and he is directed to reread the sexual harassment policy. To Annie, this is shocking. The district had determined that the sexual harassment did take place, but the punishment she felt was so soft.
In terms of what I was hoping for, I would have hoped that they would have held him accountable, put him on paid administrative leave as I believe they're supposed to, knowing that he has admitted what he did.
She ends up in a follow-up meeting with Ralph Calderon, where she brings a list of suggestions to improve the complaint process. But according to her union representative in the room, Ralph is very brusque.
There was a total lack of empathy and awareness of what might be the needs of a victim who's reporting.
As soon as the meeting's over, both her and her union rep were in tears. Annie is frustrated. She can't stop thinking about the next woman or student who might be in her position. So she starts talking about her experience reporting sexual harassment. And she starts hearing these stories of other people who have complained about Ralph Calderon and who've had trouble reporting discrimination or bullying. So she decides to speak out.
Coming up on Latino USA, Annie Delgado decides to go public with her story, and tensions rise in the school district.
I'm 17 years old. I'm a sexual assault survivor.
This is not a town hall meeting.
Letter speech.
Letter speech.
This is not a town hall meeting.
Stay with us. No te vayas.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One. With the Capital One Walmart Rewards Card, you can earn 5% back at Walmart online, 2% at Walmart in-store, restaurants, and travel, and 1% everywhere else. When you want all that, you need the Capital One Walmart Rewards Card. What's in your wallet? Terms and exclusions apply. Capital One N.A.
Support also comes from HBO's latest series, His Dark Materials, based on author Philip Pullman's beloved trilogy. Follow Lyra's quest to find her kidnapped friend, an adventure that leads her to uncover a sinister plot of a secret organization, encounter extraordinary beings, and protect dangerous secrets. Starring Daphne Keene, Ruth Wilson, and Lin-Manuel Miranda. Don't miss His Dark Materials, Mondays at 9 p.m., only on HBO.
As the impeachment clock is ticking in the United States, Ukraine is in a race to fix a broken system before time runs out.
It's just frightening because it's fast.
A new look at the country on the other side of the impeachment scandal on Rough Translation from NPR.
Thank you.
We're back. And when we left off, Annie Delgado had reported an incident of sexual harassment to human resources at the high school where she works. But she felt that she wasn't taken seriously and was discouraged from reporting it. And while her claim of harassment was substantiated, the perpetrator was allowed to stay on campus with minimal punishment. So Annie decided to go public with her experience. In May of 2018, 7 months after bringing her claim to HR, she decided to share her story at a school board meeting. Let's get back to my conversation with reporter Sarah Fuss-Kessler, who covered the story. So, Sarah, Annie has decided to make this move to go public at a school board meeting. What's her plan?
So Annie arrives. It's the library of Golden Valley High School, her school, and she's not really sure who's going to show up. She knows her family is with her, a couple of her friends, but the room is filled. And people have signs that say hashtag Merced2, shirts that say stand with Annie. She's amazed. So during the public comment session, a couple union leaders come up to speak, and then it's Annie's turn.
My daughter didn't want me to speak tonight because she's afraid I'm going to lose my job when I'm done speaking. On January 5th, 2018, I received a notice from the Merced Union High School District that per the findings of an independent investigator, it was concluded that a male colleague did in fact engage in highly inappropriate behaviors as it related to the touching of my body. And so my focus for tonight is not the findings of the independent investigator, but the subsequent handling of my claim by the district, and more importantly, a call for systemic change within this district.
So Annie's speaking to a group of 9 men. All of them are leaders or administrators in the school district. And this group includes Ralph Calderon. 8 out of 10 MUHSD students are people of color. The majority of teachers and administrators are white. And that reflects the town as well. The town has been minority white for 20 years about, but the power is often held in the hands of white male figures.
And begin taking steps to proactively reshape this institution.
Her speech goes on. She had people ready to yield their public speaking minutes to her if necessary, and they did. And it's a fiery speech by the end.
I hope the board has the courage to use its power to make positive change. And I hope this change happens sooner rather than later.
Right after the board meeting, her inbox starts filling up. She gets about a dozen emails from women all across the school district. There are cafeteria workers who have stories, a maintenance employee who has a story, and there is a former student with a story. Her name is Jocelyn Campos.
Hello.
Hi, Jocelyn.
Hi, it's Sarah.
So when Jocelyn was 17 years old, in the summer of 2016, she was at a school event at the Merced County Fair. She told me that this man came up from behind when she was in a secluded area of the fair and reached under her shirt, grabbed her chest. Jocelyn told me that she was just terrified and in shock. She says, you think you would scream, but she said she didn't. She couldn't. This man was a campus guard and a girl's coach, but not the same coach who harassed Annie. Jocelyn Campos and her family bring their allegations, complaint to Ralph Calderon. He says he'll look into it. According to Jocelyn, Calderon told her mother that he wasn't able to corroborate Jocelyn's story and that all he could do was tell the guard that he should stay away from Jocelyn. Jocelyn told me that when she got back to school that fall, the guard does not stay away from her. He actually, according to her, is intimidating her regularly, daily. Shows up in rooms where she might be alone. Allegedly, he told her in one instance, "How does it feel to lose?"
Senior year, you get all excited because, you know, you're finally finishing up. You're getting closer to college and kind of, like, moving on. I think it just kind of got ripped away from me because I was having to, like, continuously turn around and watch, like, my surroundings. I just kind of, like, shut down, just like, no, I'm just going to do the bare minimum, and that was it.
When I reached out to the security guard over Facebook Messenger, he denied these allegations. According to Jocelyn, Calderon had also tried to stop her from pursuing her complaint. I reached out to Ralph Calderon for comment on all this, and he did not respond, but I did receive a response from the school district. They wouldn't comment on Jocelyn's case due to privacy laws, but said generally that they followed all protocols, and no one was ever dissuaded from filing a complaint. The campus guard who allegedly attacked Jocelyn still coached girls' sports until the 2018-2019 school year. But since the story came out on Medium, I'm told he's no longer working in those jobs.
At this point, what is the reaction of the community and the school district to all of these stories?
So after the May board meeting, more students and staff come forward and share their stories of sexual harassment in the district.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Dr. Caroline Heldman, and I'm a survivor advocate.
Some of them form a coalition called Time's Up MUHSD.
We are a coalition of faculty, staff, students, and other stakeholders, as well as allied organizations.
And that includes teachers, students, and some community members. They attend more board meetings and make several demands, like being included in shaping the district's new policies.
She's a student of yours. You can't ignore students.
But as students speak out, they don't feel like they're being heard.
I'm 17 years old. I'm a sexual assault survivor.
This is not a town hall meeting.
Let her speak.
This is a board meeting. We have things where they can put in the things to do it.
She did.
And some of the students felt intimidated by the school administration for speaking out. The students who spoke, they were allegedly called into one of the associate principal's offices one by one and asked questions like, had Delgado incited them to speak? And they didn't understand why they weren't getting a sense of concern and welcoming from the administration. And then I heard about this one shocking incident.
I had a panic attack on campus.
So this is Marcia Betancourt. She was the valedictorian of Livingston High School in 1988, and she's been teaching there for two decades. And Livingston is one of the MUHSD campuses.
It's a little bit before school starts, and I'm at my desk crying with my head down without trying to let my students know that I'm crying.
Marcia spoke at one of the board meetings about student sexual harassment. So a couple weeks later, she brings up a concern about teacher misconduct. It's non-sexual misconduct, and she brings it up to the superintendent of the school, Alan Peterson.
Some people knew about it by 12:40 on the 7th of June, and the rat shows up in my box not even 2 hours later.
She checks her mailbox at school, and inside, she finds a dead rat.
They have no way of knowing who did it. And they say it could be anybody. They say this could be anybody. And then they say, I have no way to prove that it was linked to my informal concern. I'm considered a snitch. So the rat is a visible image of a snitch.
She tells me no thorough investigation has been done into who left this rat. When I learned about the rat story, that was a moment when I realized how incredibly tense the atmosphere had become for the women and girls who were coming forward in the school district.
That was in the summer of 2018. Was anything getting better at this point?
So Annie had been feeling cautiously optimistic. One conversation that stands out is a phone call in June of last year. It was actually during her son's eighth grade graduation party.
That's why I'm in the front. I'm sorry. My son's having a graduation party in our backyard. So I'm...
Oh, my God.
Hello. Come on in. Head to the back.
At this point, the district promised to make online reporting easier and clarify certain protections. But there's a sense among many in the coalition that these are just meant to legally protect the district, that these are words on paper, and that the people who've come forward are in reality being intimidated, and they're not seeing anyone removed from their positions, including the head of HR, Ralph Calderon. He even won a regional award for HR Administrator of the Year. So members of the coalition, including Annie, aren't feeling that much has changed in reality.
So when I see that they've taken steps to actually implement it and then hold people accountable for their actions, then I will feel like we've truly accomplished something.
To Annie, this isn't just about one case or one person.
This isn't personal as to Ralph Calderon. Mm-hmm. This is about, he represents one of the key components of what's broken in the system that needs to be fixed. And so as long as he's there, he represents the fact that the system is broken.
Why don't you bring us to the present? Have you seen any other changes since Annie's come out with her story?
So this fall, the district told me that 3 of the 9 campus principals will be women. And that's 2 more than there had been in recent years. And as of 2019, the school board now has 2 women on it, when before it was all men. The school district has also simplified the process to report sexual harassment and has been working on about 20 other reforms, from annual sexual harassment training to posting Title IX info on all the campus websites.
So what's the latest with Annie and her case?
Annie and Coach Hunter both still teach at Golden Valley High School. She's still teaching her women's studies classes. Annie connected with 2 lawyers through the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. That's the organization that received all those celebrity mega donations and helps women, particularly women of color, fight sexual harassment in their workplaces. And this past May, Annie's lawyers filed a lawsuit for discrimination and retaliation against MUHSD. And she tells me her goal is to concentrate on her students, do her job while her lawsuit moves forward.
So, Sarah, you spent a lot of time reporting on what was happening locally with Me Too and Merced. But how does this story really reflect on what's happening with Me Too nationally?
So in Hollywood, New York, D.C., we've been seeing men fired very quickly after allegations surface. But this hyperspeed action may not extend to non-urban places like Merced, where there's much less interest from national media, less government oversight, and communities are super tight-knit. And Annie is actually someone with a lot of resources, relatively. There were women I spoke to who couldn't afford legal representation on their own. And I know that being undocumented can be a serious obstacle to reporting as well. So I think we're still learning that in much of this country, there are a lot of protections that women go without that determine who can afford to join or even be recognized by Me Too.
I don't know if something needs to happen just to bring this to the forefront of discussion. And I hope that our students are safe and that our staff are safe.
Sarah, thank you for following this story for us.
Thank you so much for having me come on and talk about it.
The trial date for Annie Delgado's lawsuit against Merced Union High School District has been set for September 2020. The print version of this story can be found on gen.medium.com.
This episode was produced by Maya Cueva and edited by Sofia Palizaca. The Latino USA team includes Miguel Macias, Antonia Cerejido, Maggie Freeling, Janice Yamoka, and Alisa Escarce, with help this week from Ginny Montalvo. Our senior editor is Fernanda Camarena. Our engineers are Stephanie Lebeau and Julia Caruso. Our production manager is Natalia Fidelholtz. Our digital team includes Julio Ricardo Varela and Amanda Alcantara. Our New York Women's Foundation Ignite Fellow is Fernanda Uriegas. Our interns are Adriana Tapia and Juan Diego Ramirez. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. And if you like the music you heard on this episode, stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again on our next episode. And in the meantime, look for us on all of your social media. Hasta la próxima. Ciao.
Latino USA is made possible in part by California Endowment, building a strong state by improving the health of all Californians. The Heising Simons Foundation, unlocking knowledge, opportunity, and possibilities. More at hsfoundation.org. And the Wincote Foundation.
I'm Maria Hinojosa, and next time on Latino USA, a portrait of Gabby Rivera. She's a novelist and a comic book writer penning for Marvel's superhero, America Chavez. That's next time on Latino USA.